And thanks for joining me. I'm Brian Chandler, live here at KFJC right now. And the Dave Emery Show will be coming on after this show at 6 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. Got a real special day lined up for us here at KFJC. I have an interview in about 15 minutes with Robert Wheeler, the synthesizer musician, the theremin guy with Peru Boo. And Robert Wheeler will be calling him back in Ohio. He's actually the great-great-grandnephew of Thomas Edison, lives back there in Ohio in the 1823 house that Thomas Edison's sister once lived there, and vintage photos of Edison all over and his wife, and then posters promoting Peru Boo. It's a big farm. It's very, very cool. And well, I just got off the phone with him this morning, and he's actually doing some stuff with the census, from what I understand, so we'll talk to him about all that coming up. I think it should be pretty fun. They just came out with a new record as well, and it's actually a live record that came out in May 20th, I believe, by order of Mayor Paul Lickey, and we're going to listen to some of that before we talk to Robert. Again, an interview that we'll be doing here, and hopefully everything will work out. We'll be able to talk with him. They've been doing a lot of tours. One thing about Robert, he's been with the band, I believe, since 1994. There was another gentleman there that started with Peru Boo, and that was Alan Ravenstein, and he went on and became a commercial pilot for a time, and I believe he's still around, but there's on YouTube some very cool things talking about all the electronic music, how they do with the ML, the theremins, and we'll find out more. There's also a website we're going to talk about that you can watch David Thomas, of course, the lead singer and originator of the band Peru Boo. My experience with it is really kind of very, very synonymous as well. I started my radio career back at WKSU in Kent, Ohio. We were 50,000 watts MPR, and we had a show called Fresh Air. Not Terry Gross, but something that she took the name from. And then so what we did is we, of course, it was in 1976, 75, and that was when Peru Boo was just kind of getting their things going. So I had a chance to talk to David way back then, and we had a lot of interviews and had them come into the station. And, well, anyways, it just goes on and on and on. So I'm glad to bring that to you here at KFJC, and let's continue on with some music before we talk to Robert. This is from the latest album, by order of Mayor Paul Lickey, and it's live in, I hope I pronounce this right, Jarosin, Poland. And this is, we're going to listen to a couple songs from this double record live from 2017. All right. You're listening to KFJC down here at the Wave of the West. And I'm your host, Brian Chandler.
Thank you. Gary's microphone.
And they put a different mic in.
1, 2, 1, oh.
Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC Los Altos Hills, and that is from the latest Peru album. With me on the other line here, I believe, if Robert Wheeler is here, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. I've got this down pat now. It's like that theremin that that sometimes doesn't always sound right.
Right.
Thanks for joining me. You're out in Ohio right now. And
I'm in the Firelands, yes.
You're over in the Firelands. Okay, that's near, is that near Elyria? Is that right? Or
no, I'm past Elyria, near Sandusky.
Over in Sandusky, yeah. That's where a lot of my relatives are from down there. Thanks again for joining us. What I've been playing here is the latest album that we were talking about. May 20th. When did this come out? May 20th, I believe, didn't it?
That sounds correct, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't officially released until later, but we had the stock and we went with the original release date.
And what prompted this particular release? I know we're in the middle of coronavirus. Was there any confusion as to whether or not it would come out? Or
there was right near the end. It's been prepared for a while.
It had already been in the works, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those one-off shows that was kind of a miserable trip, and everybody was on edge, and, you know, those give good shows.
Yeah, now that was, I remember you were posting on the social media that you were showing some of the places that you were at with the hotels, and you were rating them, I think, in some sort of jurisprudence.
Hotel reviews, yeah. European and American. European hotels usually beat American.
That's pretty funny.
Well, part of that is when we're American, we're paying for the rooms. When you're in Europe, they pay for the rooms. So we go for the budget, the super rates in outside of Indianapolis or days in outside of Chicago. You really don't want to go to.
Right. Now, just for the listening audience, Robert, you've been playing with Paraboo, what, since 1994?
Correct.
And have been the theremin player. You're not using EML anymore, is that right?
I haven't the past few years. It got to be so heavy. We did one tour in Europe, and we started in Belgrade, but I had to fly through London first and at Heathrow, and my synth stayed in Heathrow while I continued on. And they shipped it behind me, and it followed me for days. So always a day, one town behind us. And they finally caught up to us in Florence, Italy. And the fact that it's 69 and a half pounds and weak English people don't want to move it, and the fact that it's from the early 70s, I think mine was made in 73, it's kind of an antique, and if it broke, I'm sunk. So... Mm-hmm. For a while, I went to iPads, and I went to a Korg MS-20 Mini. And I think that's what I was using on this tour.
Okay. And then the theremin, you've actually kind of modified it. You know, this is for the audience to know, is that, which I thought was pretty interesting when I saw you up there at the Edison Farm, your place, that you actually, you know, there's a church group or something, and you were teaching theremin to a number of like 8 or 12 people.
Yeah, it was just a society thing, and they asked me to demonstrate a theremin. I think there was about 20, 25 people there.
And all these people bought their own theremins and were playing?
No. I just let them use mine.
Ah, gotcha. And did you see any like fantastic Mennonite special musicians there so far?
No, but I did light some kids' eyes up. It's really nice when I do. Sometimes I give school demonstrations. I used to do library demonstrations and such, but I had offered that. I thought I'd be hitting eighth grade to high schoolers, and they wanted me for first and third grade. And I was like, oh, you know, these kids, theremin's not going to be interesting to them. They're used to touching glass, you know, and iPads, and this isn't going to be anything. But those 7-year-olds were just screaming. They were just so happy and squealing and so enthralled. I did not expect that reaction.
Well, it's very magical, right? I mean, because it's through the ether. I actually have the Moog one with it's the glow in dark one.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to get the special glow in the dark just to make it even weirder.
Yeah. I built my first theremin in Turk Electronics School, and my dad had seen them in Arizona in the 1930s, and he had told me about them. And I built my first one, I think, in 1981, and I actually had my volume control backwards because we didn't have internet, didn't have videos, I didn't know how to play one. It seemed to make sense that, oh, you want it quiet when you're away from it and making noise when you're near it, so... My first one, yeah, like I said, the volume control was set backwards. I didn't get a really good grade on my electronics grade. I don't know if I got a C or a B. The guy said it wasn't an instrument.
Do you still have
it? I'm sorry?
Do you still have it?
Yeah, it got destroyed by Lufthansa Airlines. They didn't like the fact that I was carrying the case and made me weigh it, and it was overweight, so I could either pay for a seat for it or I could ship it. And I said, well, there's fragile electronics inside. It doesn't matter. And when it came off the belt, the case was busted open.
Man.
You know, and it didn't work. And unfortunately, the parts I used tuning coils, which are like plastic straws with a little metal ferrite core in them.
Yep.
And they've got hundreds of turns on them. And they don't make those parts anymore. Huh. And I just didn't have the gumption to sit down and do hundreds of wirings and remake one.
Right.
So I bought a Moog.
Yeah, the Moog one is pretty sweet. It's pretty nice. You can pick them up online pretty easily these days.
A professional instrument for about $400. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah. My friend down there, Carl Palmer in Uniontown, has two of them, but he has them hooked up to the to some of the effects pedals. Are you doing that as well?
I run it through one unit. It's called the Box. It's also known as Fish Killer. It was a prototype that was never put into production. And I have a friend with the Electronic Music Foundation who said, he's in Canada, and he said, Robert, I got this box. Would you like it? I was like, sure. Later on, I found that the guy who built it had given it, offered it to the Edge from U2, and he didn't like it because it made his sound too hard, too metallic.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was beautiful. It's based on a Moog resonance filter.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me a sub-oscillator and roll-off filters. And that has become a unique part of my sound.
Right. And then when you're on stage, I was looking at something, how you carry pretty light now. It's much better and easier in the back, too, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. I used to have double-tiered stands and, you know, for a sampler keyboard and my EML and other electronics, and now it's a single flat board.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think I saw you there in Cleveland last time at the Grog Shop. Now, since we are in the coronavirus and everything's kind of really... I've been talking every week with a bunch of any musicians that are doing stuff across the board. Of course, everybody's working from home. Obviously, you can go out because you are at the farm and work in the census and stuff, but not many bands are getting together. And I imagine that's the case also with Père Ubu, right?
Well, yeah. My bass player's in New York. My singer and other guitar players are in England. And I can't go there now. Not
right.
That I would want to.
So are you actually doing something remotely in terms of, like, you know, production for, or everybody? Because some of the recordings that you've done, you may not have sat down even together to record those, right?
That's right. The last couple of albums, we use Dropbox, and I use a free program called Audacity. And David tells me what kind of settings he wants, you know, 96K at whatever settings, and I set my Audacity and I drop the recordings in there and I play along with it, and then I send him my file and he's like, wow, that just dropped right in.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I was listening to the video that let's mention that website. What is it? The so you could hear him.
Ubu Projects.
Ubu Projects, and I'm going to spell that for everyone. It's UBUPROJEX, like an x-ray.com.
Correct.
And for a nominal fee, you can listen to, and now is David doing the show every week or is it every month? Because I watched that one video and it was very interesting how he just frankly talks about everything, different things.
Well, we have a new program. It's a patron program, and you can sign up at Ubu Projects, and for $5 a month, you get exclusive content. He does at least 1 hour of live Data Panic TV every month. And then about every week, we also have a thing called Soup Show, which is shorter or maybe pre-recorded. And so we played part of our show from 2006 in Paris with the band Frigo that opened. It was a total
disaster.
Monster of a show.
I like when he was talking about it. That was a good one. Very elegant.
Well, you get content like that. So last time they played the first half of the show and some interviews with various band members who were there. And we'll be playing the second part coming up. I think it might be this month. But also for $5 a month, you get access to web deals. You get discounts on downloads because we have the Hairpin site back up. And you get advance notice.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Special deals. And
I recommend anybody out there, if you're out there and you're out in the Bay Area or all over the world, obviously, just go to theubuprojects.com. And check it out. It has a lot of information.
It's a really good deal. We don't overcharge, you know.
No.
Actually, if you order merchandise from us, we're often cheaper than Amazon.
Exactly.
And you're buying it direct from us.
And that's what David was saying as well in the videotape, or video of that. He was saying, yeah, I mean, you're doing fine, and that way you don't have to pay all the big guys.
Short circuit,
right. I'm going to play something from right now, and then we'll come right back, if you don't mind, if you have a minute here. Play
you
something again from the, Paul Leckie. Which one would you like to hear? What would be a favorite? Would you like to mention anything about on the songs on that?
I don't know. Real World is nice. They're all nice. They're all good.
I did play
they
that.
They wouldn't be on there.
Okay, let me do Real World. I like that one as well. It's, and this is from the original Modern Dance record when Alan did the sound and classic.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back. Thanks, Robert. And hold on. Here's Real World on KFJC.
How can you tell when you're out in the real world? How can you tell? I'll tell you how you can tell when you're in the real world. The real world is funky. It smells funky. Yeah.
Hey!
could you take Robert out of his monitor?
Can you take Robert out of the monitor there, Robert?
Sure.
What was that about?
Usually I play with headphones on because what I play throws everybody else off because they're doing the rock part and I'm often playing counter to what they do or without totally out of sync with what they do. So I wear headphones so I can hear my frequencies because especially with my theremin, I have to hear the beat frequencies.
Right.
And it's also just keeps me from annoying the rest of the band. And apparently this day I was feeding through everybody's monitors. So.
Thanks, Robert. Turn it off. Dang it all. The hell?
I had no control over that.
You know, I had a chance to talk with those guys, you know, Robert Fripp's King Crimson. They do everything with the radio ear things. They don't hear anything coming through monitors anymore.
I saw King Crimson last fall, and yeah, I was pretty surprised to see Fripp wearing headphones and
dialing
everything in.
It's all done with radio waves. Kind of interesting. And they said they can get a better sound that way. And the other problem, of course, they have like three drummers when they were playing, right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Who the heck can do
they
that?
They were up front. They were in the front row. That was cool.
That was very cool. Well, you grew up with that type of music as well as I. I think you know you and I are the same age. And, of course, I was on on WKSU at Fresh Air. But what I was kind of curious, and we're talking with Robert Wheeler, by the way, and you are listening to KFJC, is you actually, besides being the musician with Perubu for the past 26. God, I know, I keep on
forgetting. Older than you think, yeah.
No, it's weird. The 80s seems like just like yesterday, whereas the 60s seems like a million years ago. Right? That's all weird.
Right.
Is that you're actually the great-great-grandnephew of Thomas Edison.
Correct.
And how is a child growing up with that sort of a thing? Now, you're living on the 1823 farm, and give the audience a little bit of what this is all about.
I live outside of Milan, about 4 miles, and he was born in Milan in 1847, and they moved away in 1854, but his oldest sister had gotten married when he was 3 and stayed behind. And she was his favorite sister, and we live on her farm. And my daughter and I are the closest Edison relatives in Ohio, and I was asked to run the Edison birthplace some years ago by his grandson. And so I'm president of the Board of Trustees.
And it's a
of the birthplace
museum.
Of the Age of Invention, where it all began.
Do you have any of the equipment there, or is it all in there? It's in the museum, some equipment, right?
Yeah, we have his daughter's personal collection, Edison talking dolls and early mimeographs and electric pens and chemistry sets.
What's the web?
A lot of handwritten notes. I'm sorry?
Is there a website for that?
Well, there sure is. Tom Edison. .org because we're not commercial, we're an organization. And Tom, like the boy, as opposed to Thomas, like the man. He actually went by Al when he was a boy, but no one would know Al Edison, so we go by Tom Edison.
Now, do you get together with your relatives that are actually all ancestors, and do you have that sort of a family reunion occasionally? I imagine not.
We have board meetings. We're the only Edison site with Edison family involved. There's a number of other ones like Florida, New Jersey, and such, the Henry Ford. But I have members of all the great-grandchildren on our board of trustees. And, yeah, we've gotten together here. It's been a few years, but... I think we had 4 or 5 of them all here at once last. I would like to mention what we talk about the Edison birthplace is the inspirations that made him the person he was. It's his mother and the attention because he was told he was stupid and addled when he was 7 or about 8, I guess. And the teacher said, you're stupid. And he went home and told his mom, and his mom went up and said, my boy is not stupid, he is smart. And she took him out of school and taught him herself. And he said that later, I owe everything to my mother. She was the making of me. So between his father's entrepreneurial streak and just never giving up, and his mother taught him love of learning and to follow his bliss. I must say, he seems like a pretty strange kid. He had an oversized head. He wouldn't look people in the eye. And he seemed all through his life, he would definitely be a spectrum person. He doesn't have a lot of empathy for people.
I think somebody asked a question once, too. They said, Tesla or Edison? And
well, Edison brought things to market. Tesla has... I mean, he comes up with AC generation, but Edison, one major thing that Edison does that no one else did is he made an invention factory, which becomes the modern research and development laboratory, where he brought different engineers together and different workers all under one roof, and let's work on this project, and had them, everybody's doing experiments and figuring the best way to do it. He brings, makes, I mean, other people knew incandescents, other people were working on electric light. He makes a practical one and can set it up outside and you throw a switch and look, all those lights light up. And one bulb goes out and the other ones stay lit. And you can branch off and do different parallel loads, and his machines would balance and take care of that. And what Tesla does is put AC on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think Edison was much more in the DC for a number of reasons. One, he's really poor at math, from what I understand. And he's already got a system that works. It's much like a water tower, like a water system. The higher you put the water tower, the greater potential difference, like the greater voltage you would have. You know, you get more water pressure, the taller the tank is, the bigger the pipe, more current can flow through. And he's already got a system that works. And then Tesla says, hey, I got this thing that'll go back and forth 60 times a second. And it's pretty math heavy. And I just, I don't know the man, but my imagination would be he's already got something that works, and I don't understand what you're talking about. So he's stuck with DC.
Now, isn't the light bulb still running or something?
There's reports of light bulbs still running. His stuff ran at lower voltages, and that makes things last longer.
There is one here in Menlo Park, I believe, right down here in the Silicon Valley, and I've seen it, and it's actually in the fire station there, and I believe that's still lit.
I've heard about that one.
And I've seen it.
Pretty cool.
I've seen it. It's very cool, and it's still there, and it's right above in the the shelter. I mean, inside where they pull the trucks in. It's kind of very, it's just sitting there, and it's like completely out in the open. And it's like, isn't that neat to have like a little bird cage around it or something? You know, just sitting there, and it's like, oh, I think it's only been on for like 100 and how many years, right?
Right, 130 or something at this point.
Weird. So then running the, now you're doing, like you said on the phone here earlier, is that you're doing everything online now, virtual. Tours and stuff like that. Do you actually go through and do like a FaceTime sort of thing, or are you doing anything like that?
No. We had done rehearsals with our clarinet player. Our guitar player Gary had come out, and we had done FaceTime back and forth to England. And there was enough of a lag, it didn't really work. I mean, oh, I'm playing the G chord. Okay, you know, but we're going to figure something out.
Okay.
But we haven't done any live performances yet.
And that's TomEdison.org.
Correct.
Okay, so people can go to that one. Let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about what is going to happen in the future with Perubu. I know we're all like, what's going to happen with anything? I mean, you know, we're just biding our time, right?
Well, we proceed on. I mean, times change, so there's what we do. That's why we've gone through this Patreon account.
And so, people, again, can go to that site, which is Ubu Projects, UBUPROJEX.com. And what is it that David's doing? He's in England, is that right?
Correct, in Brighton on the southern coast.
And he really enjoys that a heck of a lot better than Cleveland, I imagine.
he seems to. He's been there for forever. I don't. Right. He moved in the 80s, I think.
I think so too.
But he was married. Now he's got a girlfriend. Well, I mean, he's divorced. Now he has another girlfriend. So he seems quite content there.
Do you think there's any chance that you'll come out with another record, or is there that something like that in the works? I know we just came out with this new one, the double record, which I want to play a little bit more from, called By Order of Paul Lickey, Mayor Paul Lickey.
Mayor Paul Lickey was the mayor of the city in Poland, and I'm blanking on it right now.
Jerozin.
And we had some issues at soundcheck, and the mayor said, do whatever it takes to make David happy.
Seriously?
Yeah. So by order of Mayor Paul Lickey, we got the show, got things smoothed out, and David was happy.
Oh, man.
He was so happy we named the record after him.
And the cover is actually done by the same person that did a lot of the earlier covers, too, right?
Yeah, John Thompson.
Right. All right, well, let's play another song, and then... do you want to continue on, or do you want to
sure.
do? Okay, hang on just a little bit. We're going to play the final solution, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Perubu and Drosen, a new record that's just been produced with David Thomas doing vocals and Musette Roller Bar, Gary Saperko on guitar, Robert Wheeler, who we have here on the line. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
On analog synthesizers, Michael Temple on bass guitar, backing vocals, and then Steve Melman on drums, backing vocals,
Michelle
and piano.
Michelle.
Oh, excuse me, Michelle. Yeah, right. Michelle Temple. I can't read sometimes. Oh, anyway, this is great. This is a order of Mayor Parlicky. And the reason for that, what you're explaining to me, why don't you say why was that?
Sure. We had a lot of problems with sound check. Actually, part of it was David said there's a delay on this. And they said, no, there's nothing on there. No, there's something on this line. And he would talk, and there's something on this line. No, there's nothing there. And finally, our sound guy, Nadan, tracked down and said, no, there's another digital recorder here in the signal chain. And the sound people were recording us without permission. And David said, take that out. And they were like, he can't hear that. No one can hear that. And Nadan was like, well, he can, obviously. And Mayor Parlicky gave David special permission to do whatever he needed to do and let him smoke cigarettes anytime, anywhere he wanted, and David was really pleased at all that. So, by order of Mayor Parlicky, is to honor the mayor of Jerusalem.
And this came out, this was a tour that you did. You went to Marseille, Heidelberg as well.
No, this was a one-off. They just flew us. We had to drive from Cleveland, drive to Pittsburgh, fly to Iceland, Iceland to Berlin. Berlin, we took a five-hour drive to Poland. And then the next day, turned around and came back.
Seriously? Just for one show? Fantastic.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. I've had some stunning one-off shows in Austria and France and Poland.
And I imagine the reception there is phenomenal.
They're always very happy to see us.
Yep.
It's a good, solid fan base.
Right. And for anybody here that is familiar with Perubu, I mean, what is it now? How many years have they been as the incarnate of From Rockets from the Tombs to Perubu?
I was going to say 76. Might be 75.
Yeah, I think 75. There are actual earlier recordings, but they were just starting. And your other band, Home and Garden, has been around since, like, what, the beginning of time?
Yeah, I guess it would be late 70s, early 80s. We were an offshoot started by Tony and Scott from Ubu as a side project and had Jim Jones in it, and Michelle and I came in as well. Tony left and Michelle took his bass place. And
with Home and Garden, since you do live on a farm, What have you? I think I saw you guys play at the Rock and Roll Hall Museum or something.
Yeah, we were the first band to. That was Perubu.
Right. I thought it was Home and Garden.
And the Numbers Band were the first bands to play at the Rock Hall of Fame.
Right. Up there on in Cleveburg.
Yeah. Now they do broadcast shows. They didn't do that when we started.
Oh, cool.
Well, you had to be there.
Right. You had to be there. Yeah, that was pretty tripped out. What were we going to discuss? What were we talking on the phone earlier? We were going to talk about something here.
Well, just something interesting. Our last show in America was here at our farm. We were trying out Tony Mamone. Not trying him out, obviously. He knew the material. But Michelle couldn't make it, so we got Tony as a bass player. We were doing a Italian and five shows in Italy and Tel Aviv. So we had a show at my place down by the river.
Yeah, I heard the mosquitoes were in sync as well.
Yeah, they were. But it was a great time. $10 admission. You had, like, I don't know what we have, 6-7 different acts. Bring a plate to share and.
Right on the river there. How big is the acreage there on the Edison farm?
We have 113 acres.
Man, and you farm portion of that.
I used to. I outsource some of it now because just my neighbor, his tractor's got to be too old, and he got to be too old. And so I lease out a lot of our farm for traditional corn and soybean farming. Now we did hay.
Now, are you gonna? It's beautiful up there, everyone. I mean, I've been up there. It's just it's phenomenally gorgeous. I mean, you just sit there in the rolling hills of Ohio, as opposed to some of the other areas, which are pretty flat.
We are, I think, the only hilly area in this county.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's really gorgeous right up there near the Great Lake Erie, close to it.
For anybody's reference, we're real close to the lowest point on Lake Erie. I'm about 7 miles southwest, 4 miles from the lake, but about 7 miles southwest from that lowest point on Lake Erie.
Is that Huron?
Yes, I'm Huron and Milan. I'm right on the cusp.
Yep.
Part of our farm's in Milan, part of it's in Huron.
Now, being there and everything, do you have a studio where you actually record and everything in the house, or I've forgotten now?
I just set up my equipment, my Mac, and a little interface, and depends what room I want to work in. No, I don't have a dedicated studio.
And David's been there to the farm, correct?
Yep.
I think it was for the
Ubu play. I'm blanking on the name of it. We were doing recording at our house, and he had been noting we have a picture of Edison Ford and Firestone sitting in our front yard up on the wall, and a pencil rolled off the table and landed on the rocker switch of this of the power strip, and lost everything I'd done that day. And he's like, "What are the odds of this thing?" You know, just. By the way, David's a real treat to work with. He's real demanding, so he pulls the best out of you. You think you did okay? That wasn't good enough. You can do better.
Yeah, he's definitely demanding.
Yeah, when you're live on stage, you may have seen footage. Sometimes he doesn't do this anymore because he sits during the shows, but he would raise his arms up and just come yelling, barreling across the stage at you with his arms up, and you don't know, did I just do something that was so phenomenal you're speechless and you want me to do more of it, or did I just really head in the wrong direction and you're telling me to shut up because I don't know what's going on? You can tell he's really excited about something, but you don't know what direction it's going.
Right. I know. You know, Captain Beefheart was like that as well.
It's when he comes yelling at you, because he used to be a much larger guy, and he's a pretty intimidating figure. But between him and Scott and other people, they have made me into a much better musician than I could have ever hoped to have been.
Yeah, I really enjoy your style.
Thanks. Alan's my big influence.
Yeah.
I used to go see Ubu every week when they first started. They were doing, they started at the Pirate's Cove down in the flats. Actually, I went to John Thompson's record store, Hideo's Discodrome.
Sure.
I think it was the day that the 30 Seconds Over Tokyo came out.
Yep.
And I pick up the record sleeve and I'm looking at it, and he comes over and he goes, "Yeah, the record's $1.98 and you get two songs. Or they're playing in the flats tonight at Pirate's Cove and you get to see a whole set, like an hour of music for only $1.50. And I'll just say frugal, you know, especially at that time. I didn't have a lot of money. I opted for the $1.50. And boy, that night just, my life took a sudden turn. Here are these rather normal, except for David, normal looking people producing the most bizarre and ingenious and just music that just punched you hard in the chest kind of thing.
No, it was great. I remember myself because, you know, at their station and stuff, I would go down there, either JB's or Mother's or wherever the heck they were playing up the, you know, Pirate's Cove. And, them and Tin Huey.
Yep.
Just the bizarreness, but yet you knew that somehow, I think B.B. King told me straight one time, and I interviewed him, he said, "You know, I may not like the music, but I know that it's good." "And I know that it's bad." He said, "There's good and there's bad music, and whether or not you like it or not," and that's what I would have to say, is that with Ubu, is that Per Ubu, is that it was always, to me, it was always, you knew something was different. Something was happening.
Yeah. I must say, when I started touring with Ubu especially, they brought Tom Herman back, and My Dark Ages was always one of my absolute favorite songs. That bass line was just sublime. I would come home from a show and play it on the piano, and just, it was just such a great line, and Tom's guitar. And I used to say the best part about being an Ubu is I get a front row seat every night. I'm about 5 feet from Tom Herman, and I get to watch him play My Dark Ages, because he would just make it soar like the angels, you know, and it lifts up, and then it becomes angry wasps that just burrow down and start stinging. It was, oh, I just get goosebumps thinking.
I know, you get goosebumps. I know, I agree. Well, fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're doing well. You're going to be, we'll keep in touch and find out more. I want to repeat here. So the website to see anything about the music or whatever, it's ubuprojects.com, and it's P-R-O-J-E-X. And for an additional $5, you can then watch the quarantine interviews that David's doing. Now, are you involved also in doing some of those?
More in the background somewhat. I do some interviews, tape myself, and send them in.
Okay. All right.
That's all good.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to...
And if you order from Ubutique, which is our merchandising arm of Ubu Project...
Right.
I am the U.S. representative. So if you're in the U.S. and you order, you'll get it from me.
So it's coming all the way from Ohio then?
Correct.
Okay, great. Okay, that's good to know. So that's, and that, what's that website? That's on the Ubu Projects, right?
Correct.
Okay.
We have a, yeah, it's linked internally. That's ubutique.com would be a direct link to it. But it all links from the Ubu Projects page.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
As well as our Hierapin, which is the original label, and Hierapin.com. Hierapen.com for downloads and special releases.
Okay, I took a look at it. It's pretty cool. I really enjoyed it, and I'm definitely subscribing to that because it was just fun, especially in this when everybody's in this darn shelter in place sort of thing. So, let me finish out with the album from The Long Goodbye, and it had nothing to do with the band breaking up. Is that right?
That's correct. No, it's both. It's kind of a film noir idea. It didn't have anything to do with breaking up.
Is there any particular track that you like the best on that? Marlo?
Well, I don't have it in front of me.
Marlo, Road as a Preacher, Fortunate Son.
I like Fortunate Son.
Okay, I'm going to sign out with that one then.
Cool. Based on the same title as the Creedence song, but different take on it.
Cool. Robert, it's been always a pleasure. I really enjoyed, and I think here at KFJC, everyone here enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, and I hope to see you, too. If I ever can get my act back to Ohio, or you'd come out here. What the heck? You know, so we'll figure this
That's
out.
That's a great idea. I have friends out there. You're one of them.
I am. So thanks, Robert. Be safe, okay?
Hope to chat soon, Brian. Thanks so much.
Bye. And broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC, Los Altos Hills.
Yeah, I hear voices in my head. That's me. My voice.